for you to come on here and talk through it. We wanted to bring you the source and give listeners the truth, so there was no misinformation. So yeah, what's going on?
Special announcement.
This is hot off the press. Actually, it's not that hot off the press anymore. I feel like it already got out. But Lawson and Workhorse are merging. We reached out to Tyler Dumman, CEO at Workhorse Products, to talk a little bit more about this. What does this mean? What does this mean for current customers, prospects, people who are looking around at their equipment now? And how do they execute on it? Lastly, we chat a little bit about tariffs and how they think about it and what the changes could bring to equipment manufacturing, although nothing really has changed much, but what are their backup plans? So that's kind of cool to hear. But real quick, we've got incredible partners that always help us put on the show. First up, Multicraft Daddy. Multicraft_Daddy. Guys, you know the drill. Look, open Instagram on your phone. Pull it up. Click the message button and then send Dave. He's got amazing videos. Every time we pull this up, I'm like, this is the best. I love the flannel one. Send him a DM with your email address. He's sending out gifts every single week, including a bunch of PMI tape. Which PMI is doing some incredible innovations as well. So that's always really cool to see in the space. Mention the Printable Pod. That gets you 10% off your first order with Multicraft. They've been supplying the industry for over 50 years with top brands at competitive pricing.
Bruce, I want to tell you about the best new software platform to hit the industry. It's called DGI Apparel, and it was built by a group of MIT engineers with a background in screen printing. DGI allows you to connect your accounts with Sanmar, Alpha Broder, and SNS, and more to compare prices, inventory, and shipping times across every apparel supplier on one website. That's right. You can go on there, connect all your accounts, and you can even buy like AS color on there, which is pretty cool. The average shop spends 2 hours purchasing every day, and DGI is going to cut that time in half. So ask yourself, what would you do with an extra hour every day? And we don't have a promo code for DGI because DGI is always free for shops to use. That's right. It costs you $0. And if you're not already using it, you're wasting your own time and money. There's over 1,500 other shops already using DGI apparel. So check them out. And this morning, they actually showed us a new feature that will automatically order from your Printavo invoices. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about that or not, but it's like autopilot, and it blew my mind. So DGI Apparel, check them out. All right, who we got next, Bruce?
GraphX Source. Steven was just spending a week down in Honduras at one of the GraphX Source offices and was totally blown away. GraphX Source offers industry leading options for your shop. Campus Ink is what, 6 or something? Artists handling a lot 8. Of production art. Oh, wow. Okay. Seps, mockups. I know you guys are doing online store building there too. They do digitizing, back office admin, and customer service, but they've been around for 40 plus years. I didn't know that, but that's incredible. Mention Printavo Pod 24. That gets you 50% off your first vector, SEP, or digitize order. Thanks, GraphX.
All right, Bruce, I know you don't have a DTF machine. I do. And one of the struggles of DTF printing is dryers. But this great company called BMAC, that's BMAC Industries, and DTF Superstore are leading and innovating a solution in the DTF printing industry by building a state-of-the-art dryer. It's the top-of-the-line equipment that's manufactured here in the States, and it enhances productivity and quality. I've got one of them in my shop, and they're built like tanks. They have a commitment to excellence. BMAC Industries continues to push the boundaries of what's possible in garment decoration. And they're hosting DTF Expo in Arizona in April. So BMAC, DTF Superstore, DTFExpo.com. Go check them out. Great people over there, and we appreciate them sponsoring the podcast. Thanks so much.
Last but not least, Easy Way. If you're spending hours cleaning screens, that is a thing of the past with Easy Way screen printing and screen cleaning chemicals. Their innovative formulas are designed to work quickly and effectively, so you could spend less time cleaning and more time creating. Spent a bunch of time hanging out with the Easy Way team at Long Beach, and it was awesome. Always a good time with them. Plus, Easyway is passionate about empowering printers of all skill levels. Their website, easyway.com, an insane amount of resources. So especially if you're just getting, you know, your shop up running, you have different problems on Reclaim, they've got a lot there to be able to help. So check out their expert advice as they can help you succeed in printing. All right, let's jump into the episode. We're live, Tyler.
All right.
How you feeling?
Feeling good right now. Lots and lots of conversations going on.
Tyler, before we start, Justin Lawrence is a great friend of ours, and I think you share that. Do you have any great stories about Justin Lawrence that you'd like to share?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say yes to the first half of that question about great stories, and I'm going to say no to any that I'd like to share.
Same here.
Look, I am sure there are some out there that are share worthy. I just have so many. I'll share this one. This one was maybe a couple of years ago. Justin had I think it's his cousin, getting married, and Justin, I think, was the officiant of the wedding. And they loaded up the wedding party and drove a RV from Oklahoma City to Cave Creek, Arizona, where I live. We're still a little old west town. So when they pulled that big RV in and eight guys from Oklahoma run out and jump in, my wife was a little, is this going to be a wild night? And I said, I think it's going to be a wild 3 days.
How big was this RV?
Oh, I think there were eight people in it. It was a full on.
It's like a 30, 40 footer.
A bunch of wild boys running around, like wild boys.
Okay. I don't know if that's the wild boys crew or not. I don't know if this is like his family side of the Wild Boys, but they were a fun group of guys.
They were a wild bunch.
A wild bunch.
For sure.
Tyler, thanks for joining us. There was rumors swirling at Long Beach. The rumor swirling was that, well, first of all, it was, you know, hey, where's Workhorse? And then the day two rumors were, well, they got bought or they merged with the company or something happened. And, day three rumors was Workhorse and Lawson are working on something together. And the reason why I'm vague is because I don't know any of the details. That's literally as far as it got, because each conversation was about 10, 15 seconds long. What did you hear, Steven? Was that similar?
I heard that. And, I immediately texted my good friend Justin Lawrence and said, so Justin Lawson, huh? And he goes, what do you know? I was like, you miss Long Beach. I know everything. And that's all we really knew. We were just kind of stirring it up. For you to come on here and talk through it, we wanted to bring you the source and give listeners the truth, so there was no misinformation. So yeah, what's going on?
So that's a good, you know, timetable of kind of accuracy to some regards. Justin might have been playing a little coy. Obviously, I talked to him quite a bit. But starting with, you know, Workhorse not being at the trade show, that is a whole conversation separate from this. And we won't need to get into that today. But trade shows in general are something where we were struggling with anyway. Right. So regardless of this news, this was not going to be at Long Beach either way. And Lawson, I don't think traditionally does Long Beach. Yes, Workhorse and Lawson, and we're still working out a lot of the details ourselves, but Workhorse and Lawson are going to, we have a strategic merger going on with them. And where is it going to take us? I don't know. I think it's going to take us to a better place for both of us. You know, I think we'll be better together. The biggest thing right now for anybody out there is nothing substantial is changing with either business right now. No one's losing staff, service, warranty work, manufacturing, all of that is essentially intact. So there's nothing to worry about of, oh, is Lawson going out of business? Is Workhorse going out of business? What are they doing? Nothing negative. I think this is all you know, fingers crossed, this is all going to be, you know, very positive for both of us. So I'd liken it to more of a strategic merger would be probably a word to put on it for right now, where it goes, not 100% for sure.
Long Beach, by the way, touching on the trade show part, is I just wanted to say, from a sort of vendor perspective, it is very expensive to be able to exhibit at. And you guys, you know, have to have a larger booth size. You have to have, you know, different hookups and this and that for the equipment to run. And I don't think there's any shame in not going or being more strategic about those. And I think a lot of other companies were that way after COVID. You know, I think everyone looked at their marketing budget and was like, wait, we're doing okay. Do we need to be at every single show? Do we need to do this and this and this? Can we just be a lot more picky or not, or roll some of these back?
It's a very common thread for the manufacturing side, or whoever's putting all the money into a show. I do think there's a lot of questioning. Do you need to do every show? Because they are not.
It's hard to justify it.
Crazy. Yeah. And a few things that I've noticed is the not only the expense of the floor space, but you know, I'm not a long time industry vet, but you know, 5 years ago you could go and you know, bring your own electrical box and have a single hookup come down and disperse it all yourself and, you know, put flooring in. And now it's, you know, you put the flooring in and they get mad at you because they have to pay one of their employees to put flooring in. And all of the smaller items, you know, that you didn't really, I guess that I never really thought of in the past, all add up super fast. Now it's a minimum hour charge for somebody to run the cables, almost, you know, $300 an hour to do that. And it's a 15-minute job that you could, you know, you used to be able to do yourself.
I was just exhibiting at a different trade show, and we hung one of those things above our booth that they had to go up in a bucket truck. And I think it cost $2,000 for four guys to do this for 30 minutes. So three of them could stare at the guy and then one could go up and hang it. And just so that people could scan a QR code. So it's, and trade shows are hard. You know, what's really interesting, I was talking to Andy Rudman, and I look at Justin Lawrence as like the poster boy for law, Workhorse, right? Like I could be the, or maybe was like the pet for Printavo at some point. You know, Andy is kind of like that for M&R. And if I want to buy a press, I usually just go find the best people in that industry and go to their shop and ask them, right? So like, I bet you Justin Lawrence, Oklahoma Shirt Company as an exhibit does better than like a Long Beach. Maybe that's true or false, I don't know. But, you know, it's like...
It changed because the information ages were in it, right? It used to be you'd have to go to touch and feel it or to learn about it. There is so, so much information out there. And you have shops, just like you said, Stephen, that are welcoming to people who want to see it. So I'm not saying they don't have value, but I think, in my opinion, I think they've turned into more of a customer appreciation type event, right? Where you can go and gather and see people in the industry. And I'm not saying that doesn't have value, but the ROI in terms of, you know, hey, are we going there and making any sales or capturing new leads or new prospects? You know, the cost per lead or prospect that you get at a show is very, very big, you know, considering the cost of either.
I need to ask this question in the nicest way possible. I hope, well, if Justin Lawrence doesn't offend you, I don't think I will. So I think we're okay. When you go into these trade shows, you know, Workhorse is there. And then there are these two other brands that are bringing out the red carpets, and they're kind of just upping the game with equipment and digital and kind of just like going crazy. Knowing the position that Workhorse is in, the type of customer that it sells to, how hard is that for you as an owner to look at that every single day and be like, I have like David and, you know, I have Goliath over here and, you know, whatever over there. Like, is that weird for, like, how does it feel to own a company in this space to know that you're not those two colors, but you're this other one?
Yeah, no offense to that. I don't, it's a great question. And I think everybody's different. I think there's value in knowing who you are, being comfortable with who you are, you know, I think Workhorse has always been sound in who we are and the customers that we serve. And I don't, you know, I don't think everybody needs to maybe rephrase that. We certainly don't feel the need that we need to try to rival that.
Which I feel like you guys have kind of have this like you're like the good guys, you know, you're like Switzerland, right? Like we like everyone. We're nice to everyone. Our press is going to work really well. Good people here. And we're not going to try and sell $1 million digital this or that. And, you know, we're just going to do a good job with good people here and kind of get along. Is that kind of how you've formed the company?
I think that's very accurate. And like I said, you have to be comfortable in who you are, right? And we've always been kind of like that, the middle of the road. I will say, you know, looking at the future, I think and kind of part of this merger and this partnership with Lawson is I think the time has come where we have to evolve at a quicker pace than what we have. And so it's more of a challenge now, but going to those shows and seeing that, I don't know. I don't think that really puts any negative feelings in me. Does it give you something to strive for? Sure. In some capacity, do you also look at it and say, as much as that would be awesome to be that, you could look at it and say, man, what an undertaking it would be to pull all that together. And the cost in putting all of that together, you can also sit back and say, I'm certainly glad that's not this.
Bruce, how do you look at competition when you were at Printavo and you'd see Inksoft on the other side or, you know, the other guys, like, how did you look at it as an owner? Because that's something I look at is I look at shiny objects and I look at other companies and sometimes I get envious, right? How do you look at it, Bruce?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I feel like it's like a 50%, 50% thing. Half of it is I literally want, it fires me up. It gets me energized. If someone releases some awesome feature, it made me want to, you know, work harder at that or do whatever we had to do to get there. And then the other half is what you're saying, Tyler, which is no, wait. We need to just completely focus on the same mission that we had 6 months ago, 12 months ago, a year ago, and continue down that path because the other path is very distracting. Now, can you ignore one or the other? No. And that's why I think it's a nice balance to have because, you know, if you ignore competition, they definitely can start to squeeze you out. And it's not an overnight thing, but you could look back in a few years and say, whoa, you know, what happened? And maybe, I don't know, like, what do you mean, Tyler, when you say we strategically need to, evolve faster? What does that mean?
Well, I think just take a look at, so you had mentioned, Stephen, you know, $1 million digital, I forget what you said, the digital printer, right? Our equipment line, you know, we're still selling a 2000 vehicle in the 2025 market. I'm not, maybe that's a little too big of an exaggeration, but that makes sense to give you an idea of like, I think we can do and we need to do a better job of bringing in more of the features and options in the equipment line that, you know, that the marketplace wants right now.
So evolve quicker, like iterate quicker, and that's where maybe you think joining forces would be able to do.
Engineer quicker, you know, get things to the production floor quicker to get to the customer quicker. And how about this product advancements?
And it's not so much about faster presses now. I feel like there's been like a shift in the industry where it's like smarter presses or more efficient presses or a little more lightweight, right? Or can your presses talk to the internet, right? It still blows my mind how some of the biggest companies' presses make it so hard for them to become smart, right? What are some of the things that you look at that you're like, okay, in this new chapter, we really want to focus on? Is it to go digital or is it to double down on these presses or where do you think that goes?
I don't know where that is right now. Here's what I was going to share. You're correct in terms of, I don't think speed is necessarily the driving force behind a machine anymore. But if you look at areas, and I'll just touch on where Workhorse is weak or has fallen behind and where Lawson is able to support us better. I think you look at automation and all the aspects of a shop, of a screen printing shop, right? Where you in the past, you didn't necessarily, your money was going into, if you were growing, was going into an automatic. And now you've seen shops hold on to automatics longer. And now you're putting money into, oh, can I automate screen reclamation? Can I automate, you know, imaging on the screen? Can I automate? There's so many other things, I think, in a shop that have become automated that we didn't have an offering for. You know, yes, you know, direct to screen, all of that stuff, I think, is something that is exciting for me to have access to offer our, you know, our workforce tribe, you know, some other things other than just automating their actual screen printing. You know, DTG is big, DPF, all of that stuff. Lawson has a better handle on, or already a footprint, or already has got a pretty good grasp on that. And to be able to, you know, partner with that is really exciting for me, for us at Workforce.
When you say strategic merger, and as much as you can share is cool, like, is one company buying the other company? Or is it, because sometimes it is like, all right, we're going to swap, we're going to form this new company, you know, we're each going to share, I'll have, you know, I don't know, 60% or this, and there's this, and maybe there's investors. So it's fairly even. Or is it, you know, Lawson for the most part is taking leadership, absorbing Workhorse, or maybe it's vice versa?
All will come out in the wash in time. We're still sorting some of that out. Let me give you an example right now. I think the sales front is going to migrate onto a Workhorse Lawson platform, but support, service, parts, all of that is going to remain in place by Workhorse and Beam. So we are still able to manufacture, you know, parts, replacement parts for machines. We're going to ship all of parts business that people know right now out of Phoenix. The service side is staying all in Phoenix. So we're kind of dividing and conquering right now between the two companies.
Who slid into whose DMs, right? Like, were you like, yo, to Dave Lawson, like, are you up right now? Yeah, I asked this to Frank at SMS on Alpha Broder. How did this all come about?
Okay, so there's a group out there. It used to be, it was the North American Screen Manufacturers Association. It broke down. It was called NASMA, which
I was on one call. I think.
Okay. Yeah. You did come into that. So that is how I met David and Taylor originally. And I don't know if it was I think it was a long road to this, and it was lots of conversations over several years, that just kind of started coming to a head last year, where we're like, man, even the word was, I think we would be better together. So we're kind of hanging on to, you know, or leaning into that a little bit with Workhorse and Lawson being better together. So I don't know if it was ever I don't think there was a pivotal exchange where, hey, are you interested? Should we do this? I think it was a lot of small conversations over the course of a handful of years that really just kind of started catching hold here, you know, in this last year.
I think what's interesting is, and Andy Rudman called this out, he said M&A and shops merging and businesses merging will be the thing of this year. So I think for shops listening to this, like, when you think about your exit strategy or your next steps of your business, some of these conversations, they take years. Like, it's not just like, oh, my business is for sale and it's done in 6 months. Tyler, I think what you're saying is like, this has been us in the same Zoom call for 4 or 5 years, seeing each other quarterly. And, you know, it's like a flirting process, right? Like, this isn't something that just happens overnight.
That's exactly how this was. And I think we'll still go through that for this, the year we're in right now. I know I said this just took a while to get to here, but it took a while to get to here. It hasn't been, hey, we're here now and we've got every single detail covered and this is exactly what we're doing. We're kind of here now and it's like, okay, we got to this point. What's next? And, you know, what's going to be next after that? So I don't want to say we're not organized in a sense of, hey, we don't know what we're going to do, but we are going to take our time with what the next phase is after this as well, in terms of what goes where. Say that in terms of maybe that's staff, maybe that's, is it a new company name? Is it we going to continue to operate separate forever? Or, you know, where are we going to do new things at? So I guess I agree with what you're saying. And we're kind of in the grips of it right now in terms of just kind of taking our time and taking it one step at a time.
Do you have to, when you do something like this, where there's two big companies that are, you know, family owned or like they've been around for a long time, do you engage with a third party to help put it together? Are they like business brokers, lawyers? Like, you know, if I'm a shop and I'm thinking about merging with someone across town, where do I even start?
Okay. I wasn't going to mention this, but since you did, obviously that yes, there were lawyers involved in terms of, you know, signing contracts and who's doing this, that, or what other. But for us, it just turned into such a natural fit because we were or we are two family-owned companies, right? So this wasn't a buyout that had any, it was a couple of people talking that turned into, hey, we have a lot of similarity in terms of family-owned, you know, on the smaller side of manufacturing, feeling the pressure of watching the big guys, you know, come up around us both, that it really was a, I don't know if it's cliche to say this or not. It just kind of fit. There was nothing that was really hard in terms of, oh, we have to iron this out or we're back and forth on this. As the conversation turned into, hey, this could really be something, you know, where you sit down and what are the pros and cons? It just became easy real fast that we think it's just pros for both of us. So, I don't know if that works that way for everybody. But it just seemed, I don't know, maybe just like a natural fit. Because we were, I think, so alike in what we were doing and the challenges that Workforce had, I think were similar to some of the challenges Lawson had and vice versa. And it's like, can we tackle these better if we're together? And we kept saying, yeah, I think we might be able to.
That's awesome. So who gets the credit card miles? No, I'm just kidding.
Bruce. Those are proof. Goodbye.
Yeah. Very important.
I guess the question is, what color is the equipment? Teal or red?
Hey, I'll what, we should start a survey. Great question. And stuff that is on the table for us to determine, right? At the moment, everything is staying in their respective corners, right? So the Workforce stuff is still going out, the Workforce colors. Lawson's still going out, Lawson. And the time will come sooner than later, sometime this year, with when something new lands or we put something, you know, together that's going to go out. What is the color going to be? Or
it could be Justin's boat is like the most hideous orange and green.
I don't think we're going to mix the two colors. That is in terms of
trying to see what happens.
No. Okay. Sorry, Justin. I was rooting for you. I tried.
Hey, look, maybe we could. I don't know what, let's call Workforce teal. You know, we're the metallic gray and teal and they're black and red. I don't know what teal and red combined. What does that make?
Brown, but that's not a press we want to talk about.
Okay, right on. Yeah.
No, this is, thank you for being open about this. Cause I think, lots of shops listening to this can relate or are thinking about this and how do they even start? Bruce, you were going to say something.
What about your role, Tyler? What, you know, you've been running Workhorse for quite some time. There's definitely times where I was running Printavo thinking, you know, maybe I like to just focus on, let's say, product or marketing or something like this. And then, you know, an executive focus on running the whole business and they have a good amount of incentives or stakes, you know, that's, I think though, tricky in reality, because is when you're running the show versus you're reporting to someone running the show, it's a little bit different, but where do you think you want to end up?
Man, I don't want to sound like a broken record here. To be determined, I think what my role will be right now, you know, David and Taylor and I are, it's progress. You know, we're talking daily and hey, you want to handle that? Sure, I can handle that. Hey, who wants to handle this? Oh, I'll take that. And we're just kind of, I don't know if that'll turn into, hey, we've kind of realized what we all like to do or what we are individually better at. And we'll start, you know, delegating, you know, certain roles, in terms of titles, everybody everybody's title is remaining the same. But I think roles and day-to-day activities, I know for myself, I think is going to change in this. What it will migrate into, I'm not sure. I don't know.
TBD.
TBD. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it'll be trade show coordinator.
Hey, you can start printing. I have a beautiful video of when Justin Lawrence prints. And, you know, I don't know if it's just the free t-shirt. It probably is. But I like thinking that it's Justin Lawrence and people are lining up to get a hand-printed t-shirt from none other than the Justin Lawrence. And this, I've never seen a line like this. Line went all the way down. I think this was maybe last Fort Worth or Long Beach or something, all the way down the aisle, almost like around the corner. It was crazy.
Are you talking in our booth, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Which you could take over if you wanted now.
Okay, I'm going to tell you what it was, and I'll put a plug in for Lane 7 on this podcast right now. They gave us those camo hoodies. I'm sorry, I don't know the exact color scheme of it or style. I know it was Lane 7 that gave them to us. It was probably the easiest print, okay, that we had ever done at a trade show. You know, you go to a trade show, you're trying to think, oh, let's get four or five colors on a dark shirt and showcase it all, what the machine can do. And we said, how about we just throw a one color white screen into a manual? And we started just pulling them across these hoodies. And it happened to us at two shows, the Long Beach show last year and at Fort Worth last year. We literally had to stop printing them so we'd have enough for the next day at the show. And told people, come back tomorrow. But they were just full-on. I mean, it was crazy, the line of people, you know, waiting for those. And
yeah, Justin's never worked harder.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And we hammed it up a little bit. We had fun with it. And yeah, it was wild how that line formed so fast. I actually just took this video down. So I'm not going to tell anybody where to go. They got so busy. It's like we had to almost police the shirts or the hoodies. Like we had people taking, literally, I don't want to say stealing them. But literally stealing them, taking them out of the box and running off with them. And it's like, whoa, whoa.
I love the Lane 7 camo.
Come in here and grab this. Yeah. Okay. I know I'm here to answer your questions. Can I fire one back at you guys? Just give me your take on this. So, you know, we are not the first two companies to merge in some regard and probably not the last. You know, with Grimco and GSG and Grimco and Tubalite, and before that Tubalite and Denco, as this starts happening, and we thought this too, what's the connotation of the people in the industry when they see stuff like this happen? What's the what are their feelings behind seeing?
Well, Bruce, you went through it early.
Mm-hmm. I could share my opinion, and then yours is different, which is great, Stephen. I think there's two, external and internal. So internal first, team members, employees, staff, and so on, is freak out. Okay. So that's the first stage, because everyone, depends on reliability and certainty in their day to day and week to week. And that's not thrown out the door, but most people don't know what this means as far as next steps. And so the question is, do I have a job? You know, now we're like, what exactly does this mean for me? That's the question everyone goes through. Internally, that actually took probably a good 6, maybe 12 months to just get on the same page and keep rolling together. Because the other thing too, as we merged with Inksoft and then they purchased a couple other companies, cultures were very different. So, I mean, we wanted to win the market, and that meant that other companies, including Inksoft at the time, we did not want to win the market, right? And so there was definitely like a sort of mental relaxation exercise of months to just come together and start working together on things. I think externally is the same confusion. What does this mean? You know, if I was looking to buy a product, whoa, hold on. Do I wait? to buy a product? Do I buy this product? Do I buy that product? Are they going to be one product? Should I just, you know, hold off for some time? And I think that in combination with, for example, the sales team's confusion of not being able to answer those questions, definitely slowed down deal flow that was coming in the near future. And then I think over time, it was iterating the same messaging to internal and external as far as what we want to achieve, like North Star wise, right? Like, okay, a few years out, 5 years out, but not just one time. For us, it was trying to say it over and over and over again, because people would have the same question, potential customers, current customers, and internal team. So I didn't appreciate how long that process would be and how many times we would have to repeat the messaging. Because, you know, as an owner, you guys know, it's like, hey, look, like A, not quite sure. And B, we still want to be able to build great products and sell them, right? That unfortunately doesn't, it's like, okay, yeah, but what about the immediate term? So that was our experience. Steven, what do you feel like when you see news like that pop up? What are the questions that come to mind or feelings?
Well, I think watching the one with Printavo and Inksoft, I at times felt really bad for you, because you're just getting bruised and just beat up in the forums of like everyone, like the rumor mills just start to hit of like this and that. And you know, you'll get on there and say the same thing over and over again, like we're joining forces, like we're gonna be able to, you know, move this and that. And people, so like there's one side of it where when something like that happens, everyone asks the question, why? Why did someone get greedy? Did someone run out of money? Is someone going broke? Is someone becoming rich? And why isn't that me? Right. And so everyone always thinks like, what's in this? This is happening. And how is it going to affect me? And my reaction is either going to be positive or negative based on how it's going to affect me. Right. SNS and Alpha Broder joined forces. Prices are going up. They're going to monopolize. Right. And so like, then Frank had to come out and kind of tell everyone like, it's going to be okay. You know, we're not going to monopolize. It's going to be fine. And they did a lot of like good PR to help that out. But I always think people get really, they take it personally. and then they throw judgment and they're not as empathetic as you want them to be. So I think it does take a lot of explaining, but you know, like at the end of the day, those who know the company and know the values of them, like, will continue to trust in it and believe in it, and it'll be just fine. Right. So I don't know. I feel like there's this initial bubble to get through.
Yeah. And you're right. And there's a lot of explaining and a lot of conversations to have. And I think that's good too. And you're right. I think, you know, the end users for us or our customers or the purchasing clientele of this industry, we are really, it should truly be a positive for both of us in terms of what our product offerings are going to be, in terms of what our customer service, you know, can turn into faster, better innovation of technologies and stuff. I'm sure there are going to be some pitfalls along the way. You know, some are more identified than others, but we are. I will say we, you know, both companies, but myself, I think there's a lot of positive upside that this is going to provide our respective tribes in the industry or the industry in general.
And I think as shops are listening to it, you should put yourself in Tyler's shoes or Bruce's shoes. Someday you're going to want to exit or have a different path, right? And when that day comes, how do you want your employees to react? How do you want your customers to react? You know, what does that transition? You want it to be as smooth as possible, right? And so I think for you, Tyler, like, first, congratulations. I think it's probably a big deal for you and probably one of the biggest things to happen to you. And maybe, I don't know if it's true or not, in your career and life. So like, thanks for coming on and talking about this, and congratulations. Like, it's a big deal. So, you know, I think there's a lot to be learned here as you kind of lead by example.
I wanted to pivot to a totally different topic, Tyler, and get your perspective on it as I see this pop up quite a bit online. So tariffs have been a thing that's brought up by, you know, by President Trump, and right, it was on Mexico, it was on Canada, 25% potentially, which, you know, I don't know if steel and other different supplies you guys may use are brought in. China, there was already existing tariffs. They added 10% more in tariffs. Okay. Politics aside, businesses have to adjust. So the Mexico and Canada tariffs didn't happen as of now, Feb 6 today we're recording. They were pushed off another month or two or something. But how do you think about that as an equipment manufacturer and being able to, you know, deal with it and move on or pass the cost? Like, I'm not exactly sure. And I think it'd be interesting to just lift the veil a little bit.
Manufacturing in general, I think is it's a headache, right? It's not a lot of variables to consider. And I'll say this from the workforce perspective. We fought incredibly hard over and over and over to keep a product on the street at a reasonable cost. And we did lots and lots of different things on the manufacturing side to try to control those costs, in terms of facilities, it's tough, but at the end of the day, you do what you can. And then as your costs go up, the consumer cost has to go up to allow you to, continue to make stuff and stay in business.
Was there a backup plan as in, okay, our supplier, moves steel across Canada or something. I don't know.
Sure, but, sure. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Are we stocking up? What's the plan?
Sure, sure. Lots of backup plans. Multiple vendors, or hey, if vendor A can't produce, where are we going? Do we have vendor B lined up? You try to handle that as best you can, and sometimes you don't handle it well, right? You're out of stuff, or you can't get the glass that you need for an exploding room. I mean, we kind of went through some of that stuff.
Is the thought to then, you guys were starting to stock up, or it was, well, let's just wait and see and make decisions then?
I had the luxury of being part of a bigger organization. We had a little bit of power from the ownership, from the Bergen family, in terms of, hey, we having multiple businesses behind us allow us to maybe weather that a little bit easier or a little better.
Yeah, I guess we won't know.
There's a few different perspectives, and I guess we'll have to collect, there's manufacturing, there's apparel, and some sort of mix of like, call it market demand and or, the demand for goods. But yeah, we're just collecting our thoughts here. So anyway, Tyler, I appreciate being able to join us. This is Tyler Dumond at CEO of Workhorse Products. You guys can reach out on LinkedIn. Tyler's great, or maybe through Instagram. Or like, what's the best way if people have questions, Tyler?
Oh, man. Reach out to Bruce and Steven. Talk to them first. They can vet any of this now that they know what's going on. And then feel free to give me a call or an email.
We'll give Justin Lawrence's cell phone number out.
Hey, should perfect. We just call? Yes, call Justin. Nothing has changed. My phone is the same. Email is the same. So call, email, text, all in place. Socials are all still up. So there any way it is. It's good with me.
Thank you so much, guys. Hey, Pronouncers, we appreciate you guys joining us for another episode, another week on the podcast. We'll see you guys next one. Have a good one.
Thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate it very much.
Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications. If you enjoyed this video, if you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.